All right. Well, I have with me a co-founder of the Morin Academy, Jacob Honshu, and he's doing a really interesting class this coming week on Wednesday. And so I asked him today to just come and tell us a little bit about it. It's S Taylor Swift as Symptom. Do I have that right?
Yeah, Taylor Swift is Symptom, a cultural theory.
Yeah,
So,
right. A cultural theory. So for people who are, probably everybody knows who Taylor Swift is, so I don't think we need to explain that, right? Like she's a global phenomenon. But I'm curious, Jacob, why did you decide to do this class? It's just a single class, right?
I'll give two explanations. The first is like where I had the original idea for the class. Which was I was like reading, so this it sounds esoteric, but I was reading James Joyce, Portrait of Artist as a Young Man, the same time as I was going to the Eras Tour in Kansas City. So I'm right in my free time, I'm reading Joyce, and it's like, it's difficult. I'm like halfway bored some of the time, et cetera, whatever, right? But I'm standing here in the Eras Tour, and I'm like, this stadium of people who know every single word to all of these songs. And I'm like, this is just as significant of a cultural phenomena as, all the great works of literature, music, film, et cetera, right? That we think when we think of the canon, right? So that's the origination of the idea was just standing in this stadium full of Swifties and being like, why are all these people drawn to this woman's music? And then I started, I'm an anthropologist, so I started getting into some of the this, I was like, oh, there's probably some sort of social explanation. Is it because of this or this or this? And then I was like, well, maybe I could just do a course on this because I'm interested in Taylor Swift. I'm interested in cultural theory, and how that relates to kind of the contemporary moment. So that's really the origin of it. And then part of it also, I think, comes from a longer interest of mine, which is taking these things that we encounter in the everyday, right, and interpreting them as kind of, and this is in the title, interpreting them as symptoms of some sort of underlying social or cultural phenomena, right? So for me, Swift is symptom. It's saying, what is it that leads all these people to be, so attracted to her music? That they not just like come to these concerts and sing it, but literally like memorize every word and become like this kind of, there's like a definite culture to this. So,
So, are you a fan?
yeah, yeah, I'm a fan. I'm not a mega fan or anything like this. When I do the course, I will go over my Swift cred. So why I have the credibility to talk about Taylor Swift, because I do think there's in reading some of the critical work on her, it's like folks take like one of her songs or something, right? And it's like just like a critical interpretation of just this, right, or something, as opposed to having kind of a depth of knowing her body of work, which I would have to better or worse degree. I'm a folklore Swiftie. You might not know what that means, but the
No, I
Swifties will
don't.
know what that means, which is her more folk type album. I really is what drew me back to her, after like, I didn't really listen to her in my teens much, but then in my early 20s and then through to today. So yeah, I'm a Swiftie. My wife and I saw her in Kansas City. We're gonna see her again. And I mean, we have her vinyls and stuff, but I mean, we're not crazy people. Like, some people will pay thousands and thousands of dollars. We have not done that. But I would say we're fans. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I ask because so you're not going to be offering like a heavy hitting like critique. This is a friendly class in that respect, but you're looking at the cultural significance of it. Could you maybe just give people, it's going to be about an hour and a half long or so, right? And so,
Yeah.
without giving a lot away, I guess, could you like give people an idea of what the class is about, kind of like how it's structured, maybe?
Yeah, well, and so I figured I'd probably talk for 60 minutes, which will probably end up actually being 75 minutes, then we'll have a discussion. I'm going to start with just going, who is Taylor Swift? I mean, obviously she's been named Time Person of the Year this year. She's on this Eras Tour. She's got this fit, all these things. So kind of running through the facts, what are we working with? Who is her audience? Is an important part of this. And then I will present some of the takes that I've seen on her music. A lot of these come, I can't remember the name of the journal. It's like the Journal of Contemporary Popular Music or something. So there is scholars actually talking about Taylor Swift. But then, yeah, rather than kind of, so I'm going to present these critiques, and then I'll show some of their shortcomings, because really I'm less interested in a critique, not because she's infallible or we can't critique her. We totally can. It's super easy. In critique her on any, there's several different angles that you could use to critique Taylor Swift. But something that I haven't seen done as much is really try to think about, what is it that makes Taylor Swift such a huge figure to especially the millennial generation? So part of my argument for this is this is a generation, right, where the American dream really is running on empty, right? That, and I'm at the edge of this generation, the younger side of this, the millennial generation, but it's, our parents, a lot of them went and got four-year degrees. A lot of them were able to buy a house young. A lot of them were able to get these career type jobs. We've seen the war in Iraq. We've seen the 2008 financial crisis. We've seen COVID, et cetera, et cetera. All of these different things, right? And then, one of the things that it was a big news headline several years ago is, right, like the millennial generation is the first generation to make less than their parents, right? And to be less financially secure. So taking all that into consideration, part of my argument is that, this generation is a generation who has had their futures lost, right? In the sense that, when you grow up, it's like, oh, I could be anything. You have all these different futures, and some of those fall away, right? The influence for this comes from Mark Fisher, who's a cultural theorist. But how does this relate to Taylor Swift? The story behind this, actually, which is a little bit personal, I guess, is last winter my grandfather actually passed away, and I found myself like listening to a lot of Taylor Swift, and I was like, this is so strange, because like I'm married, happily, like why am I listening to like these breakup songs? And I started to really think about this and do some reflecting, and what it led me to consider is that, what are these breakup songs really about? Is they're really about these futures lost, right? These paths that could have been taken that are no longer even there. So realizing that that's kind of, sorry, my cat's here. Whoa. So realizing that that's kind of the rational kernel, if you will, or whatever, just part of the guiding logic of what I would consider to be Taylor Swift's musical output. Really, when we listen to a song about, Jake Gyllenhaal or whatever, Taylor Swift's breakup with him. Yeah, we can hate the guy. Yeah, we can, relate to it because all of us have gone through relationships and breakups, et cetera. But at a social or cultural level, right, we're also a generation who largely has seen certain futures snuffed out. The American dream has withered away, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of the main thesis, if you will, of the course.
Okay. Yeah, that's really helpful. I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people. I can tell you, I feel that mood that you're talking about in my own students. Most of the college students are between 18 and 25. And I just feel like that is, it's, and it's so strange for me because I grew up at a time when you definitely were still able to think, oh, like I can dream about my future and I can kind of, if I work hard enough, I can be this and I'll go for it. And there was a sense of adventure still. And I'm sensing among my students, they don't have that spirit and sense of adventure. And it's like a cloud's hanging over them. So I think that, speak to that? I mean, I'm interested in to just kind of, as I'm thinking myself about what that is and what it really represents. So I will definitely be there for this.
The other thing I did want to add this is that, you know, because it is Taylor Swift and she's a pretty hot topic right now, obviously, it's not going to be, you know, about her personal life. You know, it's not a course where we're going to dig into like conspiracy theories related to like Taylor Swift and Karlie Kloss or, you know, all the Easter eggs in her music or anything like this. Really what it's after is what type of social truth is coming through Taylor Swift's music, right? And really trying to dig that out from you know, her whole body of work, but then also, you know, obviously illustrated with more particular like song lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the course flyer. So like I said, like Lori said, it's going to be live on Zoom this coming Wednesday. If you want to join our Patreon, you can do that. Otherwise, it's like $5 on Eventbrite. You can buy a single ticket there. And yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of Taylor Swift, if you're not a fan of Taylor Swift, if you know who she is, and you want to learn more about her, if you want to learn why are all these people flocking to these stadiums or even listening outside the stadiums, hopefully this course will have something for you along those lines. So
I'm just going to show up for this and I'm really looking forward to it. So we will put the information about the links, you know, to Eventbrite and Patreon below. And I hope to see people there.
Perfect.
Thanks
so much.
Yeah. Thanks for talking about it.